Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are finishing off the third parak of Maseches Shabbos, Parak Gimel Mishnah Vav, and then we're going to start the fourth parak with Parak Dalet, Mishnah Aleph. Parak Gimel Mishnah Vav is going to discuss the halachos of mukta as they apply to the oil of a ner on Shabbos. Now, by way of introduction to the basic laws of mukta, first of all, mukta basically means a din midirabban, a rabbinic law that Chazal added, which basically means that there are certain things that you're not allowed to move on Shabbos. A lot of times people will say, you're not allowed to turn the light on because that's mukta. You're not allowed to do a certain action because that's mukta. Those are really the malachos. There are certain, like we learned previously, 39 malachos, acts of creative work that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Those are the malachos, the acts of work that you can't do on Shabbos. Those are midah araisa. Torah says that you're not allowed to do those actions. Mukta, however, is a din midirabbanan, a rabbinic law that refers specifically to moving things, and more specifically, generally, things that weren't prepared before Shabbos, things that aren't really usable on Shabbos itself. Now, very briefly, there are a bunch of different categories and types of mukta. The really overarching theme that brings them all together is, again, this notion that they weren't adequately prepared for Shabbos, and they're really not usable on Shabbos itself. The first type of mukta is mukta machmas gufo, which, again, means this general concept. There's no purpose for it on Shabbos, let's say a rock or a stick and so on and so forth. You're not allowed to touch or really move a rock or a stick on Shabbos because it wasn't prepared from before Shabbos. It wasn't something that really had a purpose on Shabbos itself. The second type of mukta is mukta machmas iser, which means where you'd be moving it. If you'd be moving something, and that would really create something that would be prohibited, something that would be usur. For example, oil in a candle. If you're moving, taking out and touching and moving some of the oil in a candle, so that's usur because of mukta, because you're also doing a malacha. You're extinguishing the fire to some extent, and therefore that would be mukta machmas iser. The third type of mukta, again, really in no particular order, is mukta machmas mia, something that's so disgusting that's why it's not used. They're generally used on Shabbos itself because of its disgusting nature, as we'll see a little bit in this Mishnah today. The fourth type of mukta is mukta machmas cheseron kis, which refers to something that is so overly expensive that therefore it is considered to be mukta. You're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. Now, we should just all point out that all of these different categories have different halachos that apply to them, and there are svarim that are written on the halachos of mukta. So, you know, we're not really going into detail. These are just the overarching general categories of mukta. The fifth type of category is hukta, something that's hukta or mukta limitzvah, so something that is set aside for a particular mitzvah, and therefore it's mukta. You're not allowed to use it for anything other than that particular mitzvah. So, for example, oil that was being used for the Ner Shabbos was set aside and designated for that mitzvah, and therefore you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos itself. Continuing now with the sixth type of mukta, and that is a basis l'davar ha'aser, something that is a base or a table with something that is significant and something that is mukta on it. Let's say a table that has your candles on it might, again, there are a lot of halachos that we have to learn, but might be mukta because the candles themselves are mukta, and therefore it makes the base, it makes the table itself mukta as well. These are the basic categories of mukta, and again, the overarching theme is that they weren't prepared before Shabbos, and therefore they're not usable on Shabbos itself. Says the Mishnah, a nostin klitachas haner lekabel boas Hashem, and you're not allowed to place some sort of a kli, some sort of a utensil, whether it be a plate, a bowl, and so on, under a ner on Shabbos. Now again, when we refer to a ner, we're not referring to like a candle that we generally think of when we say candles. We're talking about sort of like the kli, the utensil that is holding the oil and the wick together. And that's where we're going to have oil dripping from it. Says the Mishnah, you're not allowed to put some sort of a bowl or a plate under this candle on Shabbos in order to catch the dripping oil. You don't want it to go onto the table, so you want it to go onto this plate. But you're not allowed to do that because at the end of the day, the oil, which is mukta, is going to make the plate mukta. The oil itself, like we said, is mukta because it is set aside for the mitzvah of fueling the candles of Shabbos. That's mukta limitzvah. So, and then by allowing it to go onto the plate, you're being over the prohibition of something that we refer to as bitul kli mehichano. That you're basically taking a plate that was otherwise usable in a variety of contexts. You could use the plate for anything, and by allowing this item that's mukta to go on it, you're creating a basis ledavar ha'asur. You're creating something that's now mukta, and you're not allowed to be mevatel kli mehichano. You're not allowed to make a kli not movable. And the reason for that is either because it is similar to bona, one of the melachos of Shabbos is building. It's basically building, because when you build something, you're making it stuck there in the ground and you can't move it, and therefore making this plate not movable is like bona. Or it's the opposite of bona, which is soser, another melacha of Shabbos that we'll learn, is destroying by making this kli, by making this plate or this bowl not usable on Shabbos. You're essentially doing soser, you're destroying it for the purposes of Shabbos, which you're not allowed to do. But you can't be mevata kli mehechana, you can't take this bowl or this plate, and you're making it usher on Shabbos itself, which you're not allowed to do. However, says the Mishnah V'im, no snomi bo'od yom, mutter. But if the plate is placed under this candle while it is still Friday, before Shabbos has begun, you are allowed to leave it there to catch the oil on Shabbos itself, because at the end of the day, the person is not doing anything on Shabbos itself. You're not being mevatel kli mehechano on Shabbos. You're doing it from before, which is perfectly permitted. However, says the Mishnah, ve'ein ne'osin mimenu lefi she'eino min hamuchan. But even if you place the kli there before Shabbos itself, you're not allowed to benefit in any way from the oil on Shabbos, because the oil is not prepared. The oil itself is considered to be mukta. Like we said, it's mukta le-mitzvah, so it's set aside specifically and only for this mitzvah of Neiros Shabbos, of the candles on Shabbos, and therefore you can't benefit from the oil itself on Shabbos, but you are allowed to have a plate there to catch the oil as long as it was left there from before when Shabbos began. Continuing in the Mishnah, metaltel ner chadash avolo yashan. You're allowed to move a new, never used candle on Shabbos itself, but not an old one, one that has already been used. And the reason for this, as the Bar Tanura explains, is because this is considered to be mukta machmas mias, something that is disgusting, something that really isn't nice, and therefore it has this level of mukta. The candles that were used in those days were these earthenware clay type of candles, and therefore once it's been used, it's really not so nice, and therefore you can't really use it for anything. But before it was used, you certainly can. You could even drink out of it if you want to. It certainly can be used for anything at that point, but because after it's been used once, it can no longer be really used for anything, it's considered to be mukta machmas mias, and therefore you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. However, says the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says, Kol haneros metaltel en chutz min haner hadolik b'Shabbos. Says Rabbi Shimon, and we don't pask in this way, but he's of the opinion that you're allowed to move any types of candles on Shabbos and stuff, even used candles, except for a candle that is burning on Shabbos. So the candle that you're actually using as your neiros Shabbos, as your candles for that Shabbos, is considered to be a base for the flame. It's considered to be a basis ledavar ha'asher, like we said previously. Anything that's the flame is mukta, certainly the fire is mukta, and therefore the candle that is supporting that flame is mukta as well. Certainly everyone agrees that you can't use that. But Rabbi Shimon does not believe in this concept of mukta machmas mias, that something that's so disgusting is considered to be mukta. And therefore he says that if it's not being used right now, even if it was used previously, it can be moved. But again, we don't pask in that way. We do hold of mukta machmas mias, and we hold that you're not allowed to use such, or really move such a candle on Shabbos, even if it's not being used right now. One final halacha when it comes to a candle that is burning on Shabbos, says the Mishnah, nosin klitachas haner lekabel nitotos. You are allowed to place some sort of a plate or a bowl, some sort of a kli under a lit candle on Shabbos in order to catch the falling sparks, the nitotos, and prevent a fire, for example. And the reason why this is allowed, even though the sparks are certainly mukta because of mukta machmas gufo, because there's no purpose for them on Shabbos itself, mukta machmas, and it's also probably a din of mukta l'mitzvah, so that it's being designated and used for the mitzvah of Neiros Shabbos. Certainly, the flocks themselves are considered to be mukta. But the kli, the utensil that they land on, does not become mukta, as the bartender points out, because once a spark burns out, the burnt item, these little embers that are there, are very, very small and insignificant, and therefore they're not going to create a bus, so they're not going to create a situation where the plate of the bowl become usr, become prohibited, and therefore you're allowed to do that. However, but you can't then put water in the kli, because that would be extinguishing, that would be mechaba, that would be doing something which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos itself. But unlike what we said previously, when it came to the actual oil that was full, that was dripping, you can't do that, because that's a situation where you're making the plate into a bus, where you're mevatel kli mehechano, where you're making the kli, the utensil, something you can't move on Shabbos. But certainly, when it comes to sparks, that you can do, because sparks are considered to be insignificant, they're going to go out soon, and they're not going to create a buses l'davar ha'asar. Now, as we begin Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph, we're going to be switching gears a little bit to the halacha of hatmana, to insulating food on Shabbos. The Chachamim Chazal prohibited keeping food hot for Shabbos if you're completely surrounding a pot with any sort of substance that adds heat to it. You're allowed to surround it with something that will maintain its heat, that's okay, but you're not allowed to surround it with something and insulate it with something that is going to add heat to it. Now, the reason for this is because even though it is being done on Erev Shabbos and simply continuing on Shabbos itself, if the pot is then left insulated on Shabbos, then we're concerned that a person might ultimately come to bury your pots in hot ash containing glowing embers and so on, which would be prohibited because one might stir the embers in order to make them hotter, which would be the iser of havara, lighting a fire on Shabbos. So you're allowed to insulate a pot of food before Shabbos as long as the substance being used to insulate the pot only preserves the food's heat, but does not make it even hotter. Says the Mishnah B'Matomnin, with what materials may a person surround a pot of hot food and Erev Shabbos in order to insulate it and keep it warm, uva ma'ein tomnin, and with what materials may a person not insulate the pot with, because that would be adding heat, which is not allowed. Says the Mishnah, in tonin lo begefes lo bezevel, you can't insulate a pot with olive or sesame pulp or with manure, v'lo b'melech, lo besid, v'lo b'chol, not with salt or with lime or with sand, because all of these substances add heat, which you're not allowed to do. Bein lachem, bein yevashim, whether these substances are moist, whether they're liquid or whether they're dry, they add heat, and therefore, even when they're dry, and therefore they cannot be used to insulate your food on Shabbos. However, says the Mishnah, lo betevin, v'lo bezogim, you can't insulate your food with straw or with grape skins, v'lo b'mochim, v'lo b'asavim, you can't do it with pieces of soft, unprocessed materials of wood, or with grass, bisman shehin lachim, as long as they are moist, because they're going to be adding heat in there if they're moist, avol tomnin behen, kishehen yevashim, but you can insulate your food with them when they are dry, because when they're dry, they're not going to be adding heat, they're simply going to be preserving the heat that is there. The third category of materials when it comes to hatmana, tomnin biksus uveperos, you are allowed to surround your pot of hot food with clothing or with any sort of produce, whether it's grains or beans or anything that are small enough to be used to insulate food. Bekanfeyona uvenosara shel charashim uvenores shel pishtan daka, or with the pigeon feathers, or with sawdust, or with fine flax, and so on and so forth, meaning like these splinters that would fall off from the flax as they were combed. All these things, they don't add heat, and therefore you're allowed to use them because they're only maintaining the heat, not actually adding any heat. However, says the Mishnah, Rabbi Huda forbids surrounding a pot with a fine flax because he believes that they do add heat, umatir begasa, but he permits only coarse types of flax again, because in that situation he believes that it's only maintaining the heat and it's not actually adding any heat. Quick review, Perek Gimel Mishnah Vav, the final Mishnah the previous Perek taught us that you're not allowed to place any sort of kli under a candle on Shabbos in order to catch the dripping oil, because you're creating a basis of davar ha'aser, which would be mivatal kli mehechana. You're basically making this aser on Shabbos itself, which you're not allowed to do. However, you are allowed to place it there from before Shabbos, because at that point you're not doing anything on Shabbos itself, and it entered Shabbos already with that status, so you're not changing anything on Shabbos itself. However, says the Mishnah, you're not allowed to benefit in any way from the oil on Shabbos, because the oil itself is muktzah, and moving it and benefiting from it would be prohibited on Shabbos itself. Then the Mishnah taught us that you're allowed to move a new, never-used lamp on Shabbos, but not an old one, because at the end of the day, a new one can be used for anything, whereas an old one can only be used for the purposes of lighting something which has no purpose on Shabbos itself. Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and it's really, you can move all candles as long as they're not currently actively being lit, but we don't paskin like that. And the Mishnah concluded by telling us that you're allowed to put a kli under a lit candle on Shabbos in order to catch the falling nitzotzos, the sparks, and prevent a fire and so on. However, you're not allowed to put any water in those utensils in order to put it out, because you can't be mechab, you can't extinguish the sparks, but you certainly can have the kli there, because the kli is not being changed, it's not having its status changed on Shabbos, because at the end of the day, the sparks are insignificant enough, they're not making it into a basis of our usher, into a base, which is usher on Shabbos. And then Perek Daled Mishnah Aleph began discussing the halachos of hatmana, and the basic principle that we learned was anything, any substance that increases heat on your food, you're not allowed to use to insulate your food on Shabbos, because it's adding heat, which you're not allowed to do. But you are allowed to insulate your food with anything that will simply maintain the heat from before Shabbos. That is perfectly permissible when it comes to hatmana, when it comes to insulating on Shabbos itself. Have a great day.